So this morning, we don't have a sermon. We have a little bit different deal going on today. It's the stories of God at Work Sunday. And we have lots of stories this morning, three from one family. And we have a testimony baptism. I've heard Fiona's testimony. She's practicing it. I'm like, this is going to be awesome. I love it. So good. But here's kind of why we do this. I don't know if you're aware of it. But if you ever watch those infomercials on TV, do you ever wonder why they have testimonials? They have people testify about how great this product is. Have you noticed that? There's great power in that. That's why they do that. And you see, as usual, the Bible's ahead of our culture. And the Bible's been doing this for thousands of years, telling stories. Because there's great power in stories. When we read the stories in the Old Testament, New Testament, I grew up in the church. My dad was an elder in a church, and I went to church pretty much my whole life. When I hear those old stories, for me, it triggers memories from when I was a kid. And, those stories are good. They encourage me. I'm like, wow, God is awesome. And just story after story after story, and especially in the Old Testament, I used to love characters like King David and even King Saul, who had a tragic story. I loved the New Testament character Paul and Silas. Like, that's one of the stories that sticks out in my mind all the time when they're in Philippi and we're thrown in jail and incredible things happened. God worked. And there's also stories in the Bible where the Bible's so raw and honest that these characters, like such as King David, it doesn't just tell all the good stories. It also tells about his fall and his mistakes and the things that that brought him down. And yet, you know, King David in the Bible plays a huge part in our history as the people of God. So all this to say is that I think stories are really powerful, and to hear stories about God at work in other people, I think is really inspiring. And here's why I think this is because God's people have always been a community. It's never been, God just didn't choose this guy over here and this guy over here, and then they just did their own thing. If you look into the Bible, the history of God's people, there was always community. It was brought together. God's purpose in creating a nation instead of just a family that, we'll just keep it in this family or whatever. But the promise to Abraham was that many nations, he'd be a great nation. And so it's really neat to see how God works through community, and he wants his people to live in community and to be in community. And for one of the reasons is so that we can share our common stories about the greatness and awesomeness of our God. Because it'd be silly for us to think that everybody is just, on this great path of, hey, my life is great, God's doing all this awesome stuff in my life. This doesn't happen that way. Some people are going through that period of time. Other people are kind of in a dry spell where, my prayer seems like I'm just talking to the ceiling. It seems like, I don't know, I'm trying to find God. I'm trying to live for God. And it's just dry. And it's we go through those seasons in life. And so it's really encouraging, I feel, especially when you're in one of those seasons, to hear stories of, oh, God is at work. He's still working. And he's working in my life. I mean, one of the things we learned, we call them desert experiences or walking through the desert. If you're not aware of church lingo, what we're talking about is in the history of the people of God, there was a time where they wandered in the desert for 40 years. Now, was God absent in those 40 years? No. The promises were still going to come true. God was still working in his people. It was just a dry spell, right? And sometimes we feel like we're there. So that's all this to say is that I really believe in the power of story. And one of the things we do at our youth ministry on a regular basis, we hear from our youth leaders about why I follow Jesus today the question that they answer. And I think it's really powerful. And you should hear, or not hear maybe, the silence when the kids listen to these stories. It's awesome. Everybody, there's something about personal story that draws us into someone's life, and it's interesting. It's like, oh, wow. And so this morning, like Jonathan said earlier this morning, you're in for a treat this morning. We get to hear from a family that God has been working in incredible ways. And again, we get to hear from Fiona and her testimony, which I'm really excited about. So our first story of God at work is from Jen. She's a teenager in our youth group. And where's Jen? I saw her. There she is. Come on up here, Jen. So just quickly, Jen, just tell us who you are and maybe, you know, you've grown up in Cold Lake and...
Yeah. I don't know.
Jen. Who am I? The hardest question in the world. I just asked her and she came up, who are you? Who am I? No. All right. So, well, yeah, Jen's grown up in Cold Lake. Her family is part of our church and you'll hear from mom and dad here in a little while. But Jen has a great story of God at work. It took place last year. And so Jen, why don't you just tell us a little bit about about your story of God at work?
I guess that would start right when I was a baby, and we found out about a few heart conditions I had. I had a murmur and a hole between the two ventricles because of, like, bad fusing, I guess. And then also a really rare congenital heart defect with, like, the tricuspid valve. So that didn't ever bother me, except when I was, like, really young, I would, you know, eat a lot of bottles, throw them all up. Just great times. Ruined all the furniture. But
it's your mom and dad's furniture.
Yeah,
so it's okay.
You know. Then it didn't bother me at all. Like, I sometimes couldn't keep up in gym or whatever, maybe just the backflow from the hole and all that in my heart. But then in November of 2014, I guess it would be, so November, like, last year, I didn't know that's what it was, but I was super tired. Like, I was kind of shook it off for a bit. You know, all teenagers are tired. I just was like, oh, I'm just, you know, maybe not sleeping enough or whatever. Asked my friends, like, they're all tired too. I'm like, okay, I'm just busy. I'm just tired. And then and it got worse. It just kept getting worse. I'd go up the stairs and I'd be like, okay, I'm done for a bit, you know? I'm just going to sit here. But I don't know, I could fall asleep anywhere, even if I didn't want to. I'd be asleep in class and all that great stuff. I couldn't keep up with my friends when walking around at school. We always do laps in the morning. And I couldn't keep up anymore. And that's when I was like, okay, it's not the normal tired. It's not what all the teenagers are feeling because I can't keep up with them. So we went to the doctor, just our family doctor, and he's like, okay, I'll just give you these pills, you know, kind of few, like, little amphetamine things. I was like, okay, that doesn't sound very good, you know, not with my heart condition. So we went to the pharmacist, and we're like, do you think this is okay? Like, I have a few heart conditions. And they're like, no, you can't take those. I'm like, great, okay, the one thing that I get for this, I can't have that. And so we started thinking about my heart more, and we're like, wait, maybe this isn't just like a hormone thing, it's maybe like a blood thing. So we went to my, like, actual doctor, my specialist for my heart, and we started doing some tests, like MRI type of things. So I think it was probably this time last year I had my MRI. It's supposed to take, you know, like 45 minutes, kind of. I was in there for 2 hours. I fell asleep. so I slept through that. And then it had been a month and a half, probably, and we hadn't heard anything. So, like, oh, okay, no news is good news. And then probably like a week after we had been thinking of that, mom got a call at work. She was here, I think. It was a Tuesday, she said. So she kind of just sat me down at the table. She was like, okay, I got a call from like the MRI people and the group of people that are apparently working on your case. And I'm like, I'm not a part of this, but okay. there was apparently, for that month and a half after my MRI, there had been like a whole group of doctors working on what they called my case that I wasn't even aware of. And they had decided that I would be getting open heart surgery to fix my valve because that was the problem. Two of the three leaflets that are part of the tricuspid valve were just kind of like growing into my heart walls as if that's just a great thing for them to do. You know, so there's just one of them just kind of like sitting there trying to do its thing, and just there's not getting blood anywhere. Like, it can't get oxygenated because it's not strong enough. And that's why I was tired, I guess. So, yeah, they were like, yeah, you'll have open heart surgery in, like, you know, 2 months. It's like, that's great. Thanks for telling me. So that, there was like already a date by the time they called, and that was kind of how that went. Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about kind of the community that was around you. You know, you had your friends, your community, mm-hmm. or your small group for youth and...
Well, yeah, like, right when I found out, I forget what day it was when Mom told me, it must have been, like, Thursday or something. It wasn't too far from Wednesday, and that's the only day I could wait for. Like, right away, I was like, I need Wednesday to come because that's youth group. I need to tell my girls about this. Like, they had been praying for me the whole time since I'd been tired. And I was like, well, I guess I got to tell them why. Like, and, I don't know, I needed their help.
So, and what kind of support did they give you?
Well, of course, they kept praying for me. They were also just like, not just my church pray for me friends, but just my support group outside of that too, like all the feelings and stuff. I could just tell them about it. It was good. Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome story. So let's kind of go, okay, so what was God teaching you through all this, and how is this a story of God at work? Like, what was he doing in the midst of all this?
Well, I think rather than teaching me new things through it, he was just proving what I had already assumed. So, you know, you hear God answers prayers, and then that happened, and every single prayer from that moment was answered. Like, I can't even think of all of them, every single one.
Your mom knows, she's going to tell us.
Yeah,
she remembers them all.
She probably had more than me. But, like, it was at the end of the year, like, exams were coming up, and I was like, well, I'm not going to deal with exams and this, so let's pray for no exams for Jen. And there wasn't. Yeah. That was, like, probably the best part. That was awesome. Yeah. And, yeah, so things like that, like, everything. Even the little things, like, after surgery when my feet were freezing from, like, missing all that blood. My birth mom came to visit and brought so many pairs of fuzzy socks.
Yeah. And they didn't even ask, right?
No,
it was just
no.
You, yeah.
I didn't even know what time she was coming. And she was like, oh, I just picked these up downstairs. I didn't know if you'd want. Yeah, I want them.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Jen. You know what? What's really encouraging, especially as a youth pastor, I guess, is a couple things. One, that your community, or your, I keep calling them community groups, your small group, fusion groups, we call them in youth, just surrounded you, prayed for you, and supported you. I'm just so proud of those girls for doing that. I think that's really great. The other thing is that God was confirming the things that you've grown up learning.
Yeah.
I thought that was just, I think that's awesome. Yeah. So thanks for sharing that with us, Jen. Thank you. You can stay up here. All right, we're going to call up Rick and Kareen. Why don't you guys come up? They already told me the order. I think it's to kind of keep a lid on things, right? By the way, thank you guys for doing this. This is really encouraging already. Thank you, Jen. That was amazing. There you go.
All right. I get to go first, just in case I'm not able to talk. We were really unprepared for Jen's surgery. She talks about, you know, us knowing that she had the heart condition when she was a baby, but year after year, we would go diligently for checkups, and it was always fine, always fine, always fine. When she was first diagnosed, we looked it up. Don't Google things. So the first year was kind of tough, but we knew that the babies died from this, and we also knew that 85-year-olds were still around that had never had surgery or medication or anything. So we thought, okay, great, she's going to be that 85-year-old. And so when we found this out, it was really a shock. To tell you how unprepared I was and how well I handled it, she's right, I found out on a Monday or Tuesday. I didn't tell her till Thursday because I needed to get my head around it. And thank goodness I did. I came into work. He actually left a voicemail at home for me, the doctor did. And I called him back, and I was just like, So should we come in for a consultation? He's like, no, we're going to do surgery in about 2 months. I was like, no. I really felt like through my head, I was going, okay, second opinions, consultations, blah, 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 you know, all this kind of stuff. And he was really insistent. And the next day I came into work and Verna was here. I don't know if you guys know Verna. She's awesome. She's not here today, but she was here and I did the whole ugly cry. I babbled. I carried on. I didn't handle it well at all. To tell you how well, the next day Verna came to work and asked me, okay, what were we talking about yesterday? She really had no idea. So it really took a little bit to get our heads around. After that, we started gathering our friends. You know, you talk about community, but I talk about church family. My church family, our actual families, my team, as a youth leader, we have a team and they're so close to me. So we started gathering these people around us and it made such a difference. God just started, getting us ready. There was a lot of stuff. There was a lot of things that we fumbled through, like in an awful big hurry, you know, logistical things, appointments, tests, not so pleasant tests for Jen. But with our church family around us and praying for us, we had an army. Grace was just sharing about Mangwari. You guys were there when Jennifer had her surgery, and you prayed for us from Mangwari. That was awesome. We had people in Cambridge Bay. We had, on the way to the hospital one morning, Bob and Kareen were in Asia, and they called. And like, we're praying for you here. It was just such a huge difference. Answered prayer, like, there was so many. There was the big things, of course, that the surgery would go well, that the healing would be there, that Jennifer would be strong. But the little things, she had to go for a procedure a couple of days ahead of time called ablation, where they go through a catheter in your leg and they make your heart do a whole bunch of running and dancing and try and find all the different arrhythmias in there, and they had to like zap them all. And they went in to do that and didn't find any to zap. Like that was, the doctors were just shocked that they couldn't find any. She was supposed to stay in the hospital that night, and they said, no, we didn't find anything. She can go home. Her favorite holiday is Canada Day. And she was able to go home that night and go to Canada Day the next day with her friends. I was really nervous about that. But we were learning to trust God with her. And we sat at actually MD Park with family trying to relax. And we're like, no, God's looking after her. We can let her go. She can go. She was hobbling a little bit, then going to the beach. And we did kind of frighten her friends a little bit, telling them, okay, anything happens, don't call me first, call 911. But we sat and we let her go, and she had a really great day. Like that was a big thing for her, and a big prayer answered. We had little things like the socks. We had things like praying for Sarah that she would get the time off and be there with us. That was huge. There was tons. I can tell you a story about the clergy at the hospital. We met her the first day we were there, and she offered to come in and pray with us, which we were taking like all the prayer. We were prayer hogs.
Yes.
And so she came in and she prayed with us. She was with us too, praying when we waited during surgery. That was like so hard. 5.5 hours we waited for surgery in this lovely space with a skylight and fish tanks and all that kind of stuff. And we kept creeping down the hall closer and closer to the door as we waited. And she came by and she prayed with us then too, which was awesome. And then she came to us a couple of days later. And asked if we wanted prayer. And she was going to be with us over the couple of weeks that Jennifer was in the hospital. But we said, you know, I don't know how many of you were in church on that Sunday, but Jennifer was supposed to be in ICU for 4 days and in the hospital for 2 weeks. And day four, Chris announced that she was out, like not out of ICU, but out of the hospital in 4 days.
Yeah.
And so the clergy lady, she came, I wish I could remember her name. She came and she's like, can I pray with you guys again? I said, all our prayers have been answered. I said, but if you want to come and praise God with us, that'd be awesome. And she did. She's like, I never get to do this. She's like, because usually they're called into crisis, and she came to your bed and just praised God with us. And it was, yeah, it was just really, really cool. I realize now, as unprepared as I was that first day, God was totally prepared. He brought all these people, this church, my friends, my family, the doctors, the nurses. He brought them all into our lives, and the prayer teams, and like he was prepared. He even prepared us. I was standing in ICU. I don't know if you guys have ever been in ICU in a children's facility. In the TV shows, it's all like so perfectly set up and all very organized. It is the most chaotic place I've ever been in. Like, the beds aren't even all lined up straight. They're like all over the room like this, and there's tiny babies. Jennifer was like the oldest person in there by probably 16 years. And all these little babies with these huge monitors all around them, and all these parents sitting there looking empty and stunned and wrecked and so worried about their kids. And I looked at them, I thought, don't they know that God's got this? Don't they have this? Do they have a prayer army? Do they have God's faith? Like, I felt so bad for them. I was like, you need this, like, here. And I was like wanting to just share with all of them, which would have been really inappropriate. So I didn't. But as much as I could, I was praying for them too. I was like, you need this. And I just pray that some of them did have it, you know, that they did know that God was there and in control, and he was totally prepared. I just want that for people. That's something I really wanted to share. When that happens, you guys are all prepared because God's been working on you all this time. And I just wish everybody had that.
Good.
Yeah. All right.
This is Rick. He's the dad, if you didn't catch that.
And I'll try and keep my voice just a little bit stronger than Crean's. No guarantees. First of all, I just want to thank everybody here that did pray for us and for Jen. It was so evident to us through the whole thing. And so many of you were praying, and Crean mentioned it earlier, we had people all over this globe praying for her. And I'll tell you what, it's felt and it's known, and he tells us that a prayer raised in being genuine is answered, and they all were. I'm just going to share a little bit about the timing. As we look back after the surgery, it became very evident to us that God's fingerprints were all over this thing. He had been setting our family up, setting Jen up, building her for this day and beyond. We know all the prayers were answered because he's just got a great big plan for her, and she's not done here yet. So, as she said, she was diagnosed in her first year of life. We saw such a tiny little fragile kid. It took her forever to grow, and she ate and she threw up and she ate and she threw up some more, and she just couldn't keep anything down. She didn't gain weight. Her curve started going backwards. She was shrinking instead of growing against the way she was supposed to be. And God put us in this place and this time so that we could access the care she needed. There's no question there. He also gave her a super strong will. We've cursed that many times through the years. But I'll tell you what, in her early years, Karina and I said to each other that this kid is born with this will because she's going to need the fight down the road, and she's got it. We were always told, Crean talking about the timing, we were told that she would never need, like, she would probably never need surgery. She wouldn't be an Olympic athlete. She would probably be okay. May hinder the ability to have kids down the road if it wasn't strong enough, but chances are she was progressing and everything was looking good. If she was ever going to need intervention, it would be when she was reaching like around 11, 12 years old, puberty type of stuff, and that's when it was going to happen. And of course, we watched her all the way through that time, went for annual checkups, and there was just nothing happened. She was good. So we thought we were out of the woods. We thought it was all good until fall of grade 11. She talked about fatigue. There was also a lot of anxiety in her at that time. There was just a whole lot going on, and being the stellar parents we were, the first thoughts were, you're not getting enough sleep, put your iPhone away, plug it in, get rid of it. Are you on drugs? You know, we were in denial, so it was all... we didn't really think she was on drugs, but it did cross my mind. So we started pursuing it, like she said. We had gone to the doctors. We had done that kind of stuff. Finally, we got in to see the specialist, and it was in January when we went for the appointment. He ordered the MRIs and the different tests. They did that. And I remember sitting at the kitchen table one evening in March, and Kareen's checking the voicemails on the phone, and she kind of goes ashen, and it's Dr. Koh, who she's seen since she was a year old, stating very matter-of-factly that we're scheduling surgery for Jen. You can give us a call back if you want to. What? So, and of course, this was in the evening, so we couldn't phone right now, so there was lots of apprehension and not a very detailed message, but that came, and then the timing thing of it, Jen at that point is 17. The procedure they did was just being developed when she should have needed intervention if she was ever going to need it. The procedure they did was 5 to 6 years old, and it was in its infancy at the time when she should have had her issues. So we see God at work there. We see Jen, now 17. She's physically strong, and she's strong in her faith. So when she was 11... How old were you when you were baptized, Jen? When she was 11, her faith was there, but it wasn't entirely her own. I was so taken back when her first reaction was, I need my girls. I need my small group. I need to pray with them. So he was all through the process just preparing her and us for that time and for his timing. The whole thing through the extra tests and like the test that she had, the ablation that she was supposed to have just before her surgery got pushed back a week. And it was because they wanted to do this ablation because they were worried that she had arrhythmias that needed to be corrected first. And that was really upsetting because the surgery was early enough that she was going to be able to have the surgery and be out if everything went the way it should and do Canada Day and start summer, right? Well, this pushed everything back, and it fell on June 30th. The ablation, while that rode off Canada Day. She prayed anyway, and we drove home that night, and she had Canada Day. Same time all this was happening, Sarah was graduating from nursing school, and I can't tell you how huge a help it is to have somebody praying with you and holding your hand and confidently letting you know that, because she's been in that hospital environment, that these are professionals, and they got it in control. You can trust them. You can trust God. It's going to work out. Shaden was there with us, too, and the prayer from those people, those two, was just huge. Doctor came out from that surgery, answered prayers. Of course, you pray for everything. He came out, and he told us that it was an unprecedented result. He had never, ever seen the procedure go so well. He was actually worried that it had gone too well and they were going to have to go back in and loosen it up. So, I mean, you talk about answered prayer. I think for us, what it showed me and what it did for us, for us as a family, and I'll speak for myself, I was so humbled by all the answered prayer. I remember waking up, well, not waking up, Jen was sleeping. We had been in intensive care since about, I guess her surgery was probably over around 2 o'clock or so. They had set her up and we could go in and see her in intensive care. So this was about 13 hours later, and all the tubes were still in, all the monitors were going, all the meds were still being pushed by little pumps, and she had a nurse that took care of just her, and I remember sitting there, it was dark, and I was just praying and praying and praying that she'd be okay. And I opened my eyes from that prayer, and where we were in the Stollery Children's Hospital was kind of, there was a little window there with a crack of blinds, like maybe about a foot and a half wide. And I opened my eyes from that prayer, and the sun popped up above the building. And I just got the chills. It just, to me, God was showing me that he had this, that we could trust, that it's done. It's all good. And we could spend hours up here. We probably spent too long already. Sorry, Chris. Bob. But
yeah. Yeah, apologize to Bob.
And the poor lady waiting to be baptized. we could literally spend hours going through all the detail, and it's just an amazing story of the intricacy of his plan and how we have so little idea what he's working, but we know now that he's working and it's so visible to us. And I'd just like to share a Bible verse, if that's okay. One that spoke to us lots there was James 5, 13 to 16. And it says, "Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call on the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. So thank you for your righteous prayers."
Thank you. Can I pray for you guys? And let's just praise and thank God. Does that sound good? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this story. We have the same story told from three different perspectives, and you taught each person different things about yourself using a common experience. Amazing. Father, we thank you that you are just an awesome God. Thank you, Lord, for answered prayer, that you listen to us. Even little things, Lord, it's just so encouraging. We know that in the big picture, they may not matter that much, and yet you're answering and taking care of Jen and the Hetheringtons has just been so encouraging. Thank you, Lord, for this family. Thank you. Thank you for your healing power. Thank you, Lord, that you are with us and never forsake us. Lord, we just want to praise you and thank you for answered prayer. Not just these answered prayer, Lord, that you hear our prayers and that you are a loving Father and desire us to talk to you and to pray to you. Thank you so much for that. We just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. That was great. All right, here comes Bob.
Thanks for being willing to share, you guys. That it just blessed my heart. We get to have a baptism. Are you excited about that? Yeah, it's better. Okay, we can try one more time. Let me just tell you, you might be visiting, you might not be from here, you might come from a different tradition. Let me just tell you what this is about. We believe that baptism is commanded in Scripture, that once you come to a saving faith, once you realize Jesus died on a cross for your sin, and you want that applied to your account, you invite him to start a relationship with you. In Mark, it says this, go into all the world, preach the good news to all creation. That's the good news. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but those who do not believe will be condemned. And in Matthew, it says, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything I've commanded you. So once you come to faith in our tradition here, baptism, we believe, is commanded in Scripture, that as someone who's accepted for themselves, you are obedient. Baptism is an outward symbol of an internal reality. You go down into the water saying, I'm buried with Christ, I died with Christ. You come up out of the water, new life, and it is a symbolic public declaration of Christ's work in you. And then in baptism, we get to hear publicly someone's story. We get to see their obedience. And then there's a role for you guys. So what's your role here? First, it's to celebrate with those who are stepping out. It's to be encouraged that God is still calling people to himself, revealing himself to people. Your role is to pray for those who make this step. Every time you make a step of obedience, you pick up a little target. and to encourage them, look for them, tell them you're proud of them, tell them you're praying for them, walk alongside them. And so that's your role here today. And so as Fiona comes to just give her story really briefly, she's got it all written out. You're going to love it. I want you to make her feel welcome and practice celebrating a little bit. Here comes Fiona to tell you about her faith in Jesus. Okay, Linz, why don't you come along with Fiona? And then we're going to have Fiona's community group, who plays significantly in this story, come and join us on the stage. So if you're in the community group and you've been praying for her and walking a faith journey with Fiona, come on out. Yeah, you guys, you know who you are. Yeah. All right, Fiona, you want me to hold it or you want to hold the mic?
I think I'm okay.
All right. Come on up, you
Let's
guys.
See. Just fill the stage behind us here. This is my community group.
I feel overdressed.
Oh, look how big you are. I love it.
I love it too. All right. So, hi, my name is Fiona Bankson. I have a husband, a teenage son, and daughter. This is my Jesus story. I was baptized in a Catholic church. I hated going to church because I never understood anything the priests were preaching. I also went to a Catholic school. I hated going because I was bullied and wanted to go to the public school where my friends from the community were. I went to church until I was through high school, and then I stopped going to church altogether. 4 years ago, I was airlifted to Edmonton because my depression was so bad. I just laid in bed for at least 2 weeks. Then I finally went to a group the hospital chaplain was teaching. And there I just cried. I'm in the deepest, darkest place I've ever been. The chaplain asked if I believed in God. And I remember for the first time saying, I don't know. I said, if there was a God, why would he put me in this dark place? The chaplain, Wendell, prayed for me and said he saw something and felt something about me. I worked with him until I was discharged. Another time, a complete stranger prayed for me. It was amazing because every word she said was true. Pastor Bob has said some people have been fortunate to feel God's presence. I should be dead. I tried to commit suicide. I wanted to die, but God had another purpose in for me. I've lived in Cold Lake almost 9 years, saying I'm going to try to go to church and never did. I lived in sin and darkness, but God was looking out for me because he sent me Lindsay. I met her at a spin class. She was the instructor. We talked and she asked me if I wanted to go with her to church. Thank you for making me comfortable in this place. I was greeted by people at the door and I understood what was being preached. I just learned the real reason Jesus died on the cross for our sins and then came back to life. Now I'm reading scripture and learning and feeling Jesus inside of me. My depression has been less. We need to pray to talk with him. I know that Jesus loves me. I also love my community group for welcoming in. If I hadn't come to church, I would have been empty. I accept Jesus taking my sins away. I'm forgiven. I want to be a follower of Jesus and be baptized like he was. When I was baptized as a child, it wasn't my choice, and right now this is my choice. God is open to having relationship with anyone that wants to have relationship. I believe Jesus is in us and with us always and wants us to live with him. I'm on the right path. I want to be baptized today to let God know I love him, and this is a congregation I want to do it in.
Good job. Good job. All right. Linz, you play an important role in the story, and you dragged her to your home group, and all of these people have been praying and walking along. And so you're going to share a verse or something and pray with Fiona?
Okay.
That's what we talked about?
Yeah. We did. I'm not used to talking into microphones.
Or being prepared. All right. Oh, I'm not pushing the photo button. That's the problem. Fiona, it's just been awesome that we could start a friendship and bike class. Again, it was a class that I was not supposed to teach, but I did, and you were there. And we talked at the end, and it was just one of those things where I wanted to get to know you better. We talked, and we walked, and we walked some more, and, you know, we did some more bike classes. And then randomly I found that your birthday was, like, the next day, and I had this wonderful craft to give you, a bunch of different rocks. And I didn't really know where you were with your faith or anything like that, but I wanted you to know who you were, who God sees you as. So I know that you have this little box of rocks that has different words on them, like light and empowered. And they're all rocks, right? But Jesus is the rock. So I have a verse that I just really want you to remember. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. In this life, we'll have trouble, but God has overcome that, and he's now in you. And the very first verse that came to mind when I met you was, a light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. And that is the truth. So I just, I'm going to give these verses to you, along with the other ones on the back of those other rocks. And I guess we can just pray as a group, as a family, for your journey. Okay, so can we do the hand thing? Not really into the public prayer. God, thank you that you are a God who saves, who knows our life journeys, who sees it and is with us from beginning to end. Whether or not we recognize you, you have a plan, and I just give thanks that Fiona's plan is obedience to you and that she's been very courageous in coming forward with her faith and taking these faith steps and inviting you into her heart and into her life. And I just ask that as she continues the journey, that you would guard her, protect her, and above all, just help her to rely on you, the truth, the author and perfecter of our salvation and our faith walk, and that now that she's got your light in her, that she'd also be a light to others. And I just thank you that already she's been encouraged and very courageous, even sharing her faith with others who are on this journey. So just be with her and help her to keep going, protect her. Your name is above all names forever. In Jesus' name, amen.